I think this is the first time that the issue of menopausal status really is up in our face for recurrent score. I mean, it's kind of been talked a little bit about young patients, but not like these data sets. And I'm curious, seeing all these data and the speculation or theory that it's really the ovarian suppression that's at work here, does recurrent score affect what you do in terms of choice of endocrine therapy in the premenopausal woman? And right now, nowadays, how are you deciding what kind of endocrine therapy to use for a premenopausal woman and whether to do an ovarian suppression ablation?
Right. So the recurrence score isn't in and of itself specifically linked to that outcome. As we discussed, you know, that subset of premenopausal women who had, technically they were less than age 50, we assume that that's a surrogate for their menopause status, who had those intermediate scores, did better with the chemo. And again, the inference is that much of that might have been from ovarian suppression. So in general, for women who are premenopausal, you know, the studies, Nancy Davidson's study, the Soft and Tex trials, have really suggested that for low-risk cancers, there is minimal benefit to adding ovarian suppression to tamoxifen. So for stage one breast cancers, I think it's hard-pressed to see that adding ovarian suppression really changes the longer-term natural history. Having said that, for higher-risk cancers with longer follow-up in the Soft trial in particular, it's clear that ovarian suppression and then the use of an aromatase inhibitor makes a difference for higher stage ER-positive premenopausal tumors. And so increasingly in my practice for stage two or three women, I'm encouraging them to consider ovarian suppression, perhaps with tamoxifen, perhaps with an AI, especially in women not getting chemotherapy or in high-risk women who get chemotherapy and remain premenopausal. The downsides here are much more intensive menopausal symptomatology, osteoporosis, bone and joint stiffness, hot flashes, night sweats, sexual health issues. Those are all clearly worse when you add the ovarian suppression to the treatment program. But with longer follow-up, and this was also updated this summer in a nice New England Journal of Medicine paper from the Soft investigators, you know, now at about 8 or 10 years of follow-up, and the curves are beginning to really diverge compared to tamoxifen therapy alone, especially for these higher risk women with typically stage two or three tumors. And I think that ovarian suppression is an important part of a treatment program. So obviously you have to work with patients carefully to see if they will tolerate it. The benefits remain narrow. We're talking about a few percentage points for average risk cases. But I think there's really a story there that we've not still fully reckoned with.